Hi, I'm Michael Kiorian. I'm the director of the IBD Center at the Virginia Mason Medical Center in Seattle, Washington. I'm very excited to be there, and I hope we'll have a great participation. And I'm very, very happy to join my colleagues in doing this exciting program. So in my presentation, I will touch on some very important aspects of C. difficile in general, and then a few items related to IBD in particular. First of all, data on epidemiology. C. difficile has increased in incidence and prevalence over the last 2 to 3 decades, owing in large part to increased use of antibiotics and to the emergence of some hypervirulent strains. And that is something that's applicable throughout the world, almost to the point where this was considered an epidemic. After that, I'm going to review data on the clinical efficacy of antibiotics and non-antibiotic therapy for C. difficile and discuss the algorithms and controversies related to the management and prevention of C. difficile in general, and then some specific aspects related to IBD. I think the emphasis on the increased incidence and risk factors associated with the C. difficile infection are very important because they immediately translate into very effective preventive measures. And I think all gastroenterologists, and in fact, that's probably the knowledge that all practitioners should have in their toolbox, since this is not just a GI issue, it's actually a medical issue, a general medicine and even a surgical issue to some extent, as long as patients are anywhere near a medical center. And it's not just a theoretical concept, it has actually been demonstrated on clinical ground, so boots on the ground based on implementation of these infection control guidelines and antibiotic stewardship. There are studies in large institutions showing that the incidence of C. difficile has decreased threefold. So that is obviously a very effective intervention, which brings up the importance and actually the true translational importance of these notions that were perhaps developed in the lab or based on clinical research and now are very applicable and very effective on clinical grounds. That ratio, a threefold drop in infection, is something that's quite remarkable and perhaps unique in magnitude to C. difficile. It's a proof of concept applied to real-life scenarios. Specifically for IBDologists, so for GI providers who specialize or have an interest in IBD, this is an even more important issue given the significant negative consequences of C. difficile infection among IBD patients. So one of the interesting aspects of C. difficile, this being a dysbiosis-related infection, is how do I treat recurrent C. difficile? Is this real recurrent C. difficile, or is this just long-term colonization? Can I refer somebody to you for fecal transplantation? It's quite challenging because currently there is no gold standard for diagnosing C. difficile infection. Part of this is lab, so objective evidence, and part of this is clinical interpretation. And that challenge is multiplied in patients with inflammatory bowel disease owing to their underlying chronic inflammation and persistent symptoms. So it is not easy, and I must say that it's basically 80% science and 20% clinical acumen. I also think that there have been some new developments in both pharmacological and non-pharmacological therapies for C. difficile, and those are important to update for very busy clinicians who are in the trenches. And some of these can be applied immediately. There are some guidelines that have changed substantially over the last couple of years, even last year. So since 2018, there have been significant changes in the guidelines as far as using antibiotics and where to position what therapy, and also some exciting stuff that's in the pipeline. So these newer algorithms, I think, are something that needs to be updated for clinicians. I think as far as management, some of the barriers are cost related. So second line agents in particular, that's where things get a little bit dicey because of the cost and access. The other part of this certainly revolves around a huge topic in C. difficile, which is fecal transplantation. And that has been in the news recently. And I will be discussing a couple of minutes about that in my presentation, how this now is the center of a controversy between clinicians, pharma, and the FDA, and where this will be positioned. Nobody knows right now. But it carries implications for our practice because a lot of times in many centers, fecal transplantation is available as an option for recurrent C. diff, and it's very effective. Fecal transplantation, it has grown so much in 10 years. The accumulated research is substantial, yet we're probably in the era of a transformation of fecal transplant from being sort of a deregulated issue to becoming a bit tighter and more regulated at the government level. So this is something that's absolutely very dynamic, very much a moving target right now. And it's very effective, which is why clinicians are so vocal about it and they feel very strongly about it. Lastly, I think it would be the impact of these newer therapeutics on the management of C. difficile and where they will fit into the management paradigm. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and enjoy your day. Looking forward to see you in Los Angeles.